Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. We're going to talk about urban legends today, and I did a video recently where I mentioned the urban legends of the stupid lawsuits that never actually happened, but people pass them around thinking they're true or believing that they might be true or just thinking they're funny, but either way, the stories are not true, but people like to repeat them, and I mentioned that's a form of an urban legend. And while telling that story, I mentioned the fact that I'd heard a couple urban legends myself growing up, and when you first hear an urban legend, you're like, can that really be true? But people say, well, it happened to a friend of a friend of mine. And see, it didn't happen to them. And it didn't happen to their friend. It happened to a friend of a friend. So we can trust this person because we know them and they know their friend. But we can't verify it because we don't know who their friend's name is. So I mentioned a guy named John Harold Brunvand, who's a professor who writes books about urban legends. And I mentioned while I was doing the video, I mentioned the book and I realized, oh, there's one of them right there and another one is right behind me. So I actually have two of Mr. Brunvand's books, and they are fascinating because I mentioned, for instance, that one of the stories I had heard is a coworker told me the story about how his friend had come home from work, or a friend of a friend, and found his Doberman in distress, took the Doberman to the vet, and the vet said, oh, look at this, and yanked some fingers out of the dog's throat. They were human fingers. So they went back to the house, and they found a burglar bleeding to death in the closet. Well, that was the name of Jean-Harold Brunvand's second book. The Choking Doberman. I heard the story probably right about the time this book was going to press. So it was making the rounds, as they say. Now, I believe his first book was The Vanishing Hitchhiker. And I got this book after I saw Jean-Harold Brunvand on David Letterman, I believe, back in 1981 or 82. And I remember reading this when I lived in Bad Axe. And the funny thing is you're reading the book and you're going, wow, I've heard of a lot of these or variations on a lot of these. So, for instance, in the book, The Vanishing Hitchhiker, he breaks it up into categories. And he talks about, you know, how these things are basically stories that people tell. They like to tell them. They're interesting stories. They're just not true. So, the death car, I mentioned also, someone had told me that in high school, that they were about to get a car for 50 bucks because someone died in it and nobody wanted the death car. And all she had to do was, you know, clean the seats and put a, you know, deodorizer in there. She could drive a Trans Am that otherwise cost a lot of money. She'd get it for 50 bucks. Never happened, though. It's the weirdest thing. But there's other variations, and there's a lot of other stories involving cars, for instance. So another one, and some people have mentioned this in the comments below my other video, that a guy's going through the newspaper in the old days, and he sees an ad, and it goes, 1966 Chevrolet, 50 bucks. And the number's local. So he calls it, and a woman answers the phone, and he goes, yeah, tell me about the car. And she goes, yeah, it's a 66 Corvette. I want to get rid of it. The guy goes, oh, and he races over there and he looks at it and it looks to be complete. In fact, it's covered and it's got low mileage on it. And so he hands her the 50 bucks and then he goes, I just have to know, what's the story? And she goes, well, my son went off to Vietnam. My husband's passed away. And my son got killed in Vietnam. And that car is his and it reminds me of him. I just want to get rid of it. Have it go to a good home, but just never see it again. It's yours. 50 bucks. The variation on that is, same story, guy goes to the house, looking at the car, and flips the 50 bucks and goes, I just have to know, what's the story? And the woman goes, my husband ran off with his secretary and left me a note that said, sell the car, send me the money. Now, those are variations on a theme, obviously. Slightly different morals to the story, but again, it did not happen to your friend's friend. Some of these stories, I think, started out as ghost stories, like The Vanishing Hitchhiker. And that's the one where somebody's out driving around late at night, out in the middle of nowhere, and they see someone hitchhiking. So they pick him up. The hitchhiker then tells them something that allows them to avoid a catastrophe. Either, you know, has them go down a different road so they don't drive over the washed out bridge, or they stop at the train tracks for no reason, and all of a sudden a train goes by, they don't get killed. And then, of course, when the guy turns to thank the hitchhiker, they're gone. I'm pretty sure it started out as a ghost story, but people then tell it as a true story. The killer in the back seat is one that morphs over time, but somebody goes shopping at a mall, they're busy, they get in the car, they're driving around, and they go someplace, and somebody approaches the car while the woman, it's always a woman, is still at the wheel and motions for her to get out of the car and goes, you didn't see the guy in the back seat? And it turns out there's a guy in the back seat with like a knife or a hatchet or some gruesome thing he's going to do to the woman. But he didn't do it yet. He's just sitting in the back seat, laying on the floor where she couldn't see him. There's a bunch of them involving food. People finding rodents in glass bottles of soda. people finding deep-fried rodents in buckets of food. And in fact, the deep-fried rodent is actually mentioned in the movie The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. The movie's not as good as the book. But in the movie, it's mentioned as an example of an urban legend. And the funny thing is that, you know, these stories are told, and, you know, a friend of mine went to this fast food place, and they served him this. Now, here's the thing. When I was in law school, I came across a case out of a state out west where somebody had actually bought a bottle of soda, and they had noticed there was something inside of it, and it turns out it was a dead mouse. And the case documented this, and there's a lawsuit and so on. And so I actually sent that case to Jean-Hilde Brunvand with a note and said, hey, by the way, I ran across an actual example of one of your urban legends. And he wrote me back and he said, yes. He goes, here's the thing. These stories, some of them, could have happened. Okay, the vanishing hitchhiker didn't happen. But some of these stories could have happened. But no one ever says that. They never say, by the way, did you hear about the guy who found the mouse in the bottle of soda in Idaho in 1943? Because that's not interesting. Instead, it's, hey, a friend of mine the other day was drinking something and saw the dead mouse in the bottle. So that's what makes it an urban legend. It's not whether the story is true or not. It's who's telling the story. And is it true as they're telling it? It almost never is, because their friend's friend didn't actually have that happen. By the way, friend of a friend is a foaf, F-O-A-F. That's a term of art in the urban legend community. A couple other things, for instance, we mentioned food, but there's also things involving like snakes and spiders. And I had this one told to me again by someone who told me that it happened to a friend of a friend. Went to Kmart and was shopping at Kmart and came across a rack of fur coats. I don't know that Kmart ever actually sold fur coats, but there's often not a lot of logic to these stories. Woman tries on that coat, and as she's trying it on, she feels something poke her in the arm, which she assumes is like a pin or something. Decides not to buy it, puts it back on the rack, and she's driving home, and her arm starts to swell up. There's often a lot of gruesome details in these stories. And as her arm starts to swell up, she decides to go to the emergency room instead. So she goes to the emergency room at the hospital. They're baffled, but they run a bunch of blood tests on her, and they come back out, and they go, we have a solution for what's wrong with you, but we're baffled. And she goes, why is that? And they go, you were bitten by a, and fill in the blank, it's either a scorpion or a snake or a spider. But the weird thing is that these things only live in Asia. It's India or Pakistan or someplace like that. And she's like, well, that's crazy. And then she remembers being poked by something at the store in the fur coat. So, of course, after she gets the antidote and she's perfectly fine, she goes back to the store where they pull the coat off the rack, turn it inside out. Inside of it is a nest of vipers, scorpions, spiders, or some other dread creature that you wouldn't want to have in the sleeve of your coat biting you. Again, it never happened, but I know someone who told me the story and said, that happened to a friend of a friend of mine. It actually happened. You always ask, you, why aren't these things in the paper? They're covering them up. They're covering them up. Another one regarding automobiles, and this is one somebody mentioned this in the comments to my last video, is the one where the woman buys a, and it's often, this case is always a woman because they want to have somebody who doesn't know much about cars. Woman buys a car, brings it home, and she's driving it and driving it and driving it and driving it. And the gas gauge is just barely moving. Barely. She drives like 500 miles on the first tank of gas, and it's still at half. So she's thinking to herself, well, either the gas gauge is wrong or the odometer is wrong, but something's wrong here because normally I have to buy gas by now. So she foolishly takes it back to the dealer and tells them the story. And they go, well, leave it. We'll take a look at it. And a couple days later, she goes back to pick up the car, and they go, yeah, we fixed it for you. She gets in the car and now it gets 11 miles to a gallon like it's supposed to. And somehow she figured out that what had happened was GM, Ford, or Chrysler, take your pick, has developed a 500 mile per gallon carburetor. And they had it on a car and they were testing it. And they accidentally sold her that car. And when they discovered it, they just swapped the carburetor out. So now she no longer has the Miracle carburetor. They do, and they're simply sitting on it because they don't want that to get out, because obviously it's in their best interest for cars to get lousy gas mileage for some reason. But that's another story that you hear all the time is the Miracle carburetor. Another crazy car case, and someone else mentioned this as well, is the guy who drives a cement truck is driving through his own neighborhood getting ready to deliver some cement with his cement mixer. And he sees a car in front of his house he doesn't recognize, and it's a fancy convertible. It has to be a convertible. And so he parks the cement truck around the corner, and he sneaks up and he looks in the window of the house, and he sees his wife sitting on the couch with some young guy, and they're having a grand old time. And he's like, oh my God, she's having an affair on me. So he then backs the cement truck up, lowers the thing, and fills the convertible with, you know, 5 yards of ready mix. And then he drives off. And so he then finishes his shift, goes back to work, gets his own car, drives home. And he comes home and he finds his wife is distraught. And he goes, what's going on? And she goes, weirdest thing went. I went to buy you a convertible for your birthday or your anniversary or some other thing. And the salesman brought the car over to drop it off and to do the paperwork. And while we were in here doing the paperwork, somebody came by and filled it with cement. And I'd paid for it, but I didn't have insurance on it. Now we've got to pay that off. Yeah, that happened. So those are more of the car cases. There are also a bunch of ones involving pets, usually that end in a gruesome fashion for the pet. And we've all heard the one about the people who, you know, washed their poodle or chihuahua or whatever, and they decided to put it in the microwave to dry it. Never actually happened, but that's a common one. Another one is where somebody is over at somebody's house and they're helping put down some carpeting. And they put down some carpeting, and it's perfect, except there's a little lump in the middle. And you go over and you try to smooth the lump out, and it won't smooth out. Finally, you just smack it down just as little Timmy comes in and goes, hey, has anybody seen my hamster? Now, they've used that in a bunch of movies and to comic effect. I mean, I've actually seen it where I believe it was a bird and somebody took a hammer and was smashing it down. And then the other one is where somebody's playing with a dog on a second or higher floor of an apartment complex. And they're throwing a ball for the dog to catch, and the ball bounces out the window and the dog jumps out after it. That was also memorialized. I believe in There's Something About Mary. I believe that Ben Stiller threw the ball out the window and the dog jumped after it. Again, it really happened to a friend of a friend of mine. Again, the story might have happened, but it didn't happen to the friend of your friend who says it did. Several involving recipes, strangely enough. Some rubes from the Midwest go to New York City and are having lunch at some extremely expensive restaurant in a hotel. And they decide to have the signature dish, which is either a salad, or I've also heard it as being cookies for some odd reason. And while they're enjoying this salad or cookies, they're remarking on how wonderful these are. This is just the most amazing thing. So they ask the waiter, they say, is there any chance we can get the recipe for this? And the waiter said, oh yeah, of course, we do that all the time. The waiter comes back and hands them the recipe. And they say, great, and they have the recipe. And then the waiter comes by and hands them the bill for their meal, plus $500 for the recipe, as if that's how it works. But it happened to a friend of a friend of mine, true story. So, like I said, Vanishing Hitchhiker was Jean Harold Brunvand's first book. Choking Doberman was the second book. And again, these are more stories that people pass around as if they actually happened to somebody. And the Choking Doberman is the first one here. But he mentioned some other ones. And by the way, there was the urban legend that's more recent. I don't know if you got it in any of his books, but the one about cell phones causing gas stations to explode. And the funny thing is that I remember the first time I heard that concept. I can't even tell you where the gas station was. It's out near Island Lake on the road that runs out to Lansing, 96. And is a mobile station. And I'm pumping gas, talking on a cell phone, and the guy inside comes running out, screaming, just going nuts. And I was the only person pumping gas. So I hang the phone up, stick it in my pocket, and I go, what's the problem? And he goes, you're trying to get us all killed. And I go, how? You know, I worked at a gas station. I know how to pump gas. And he goes, that cell phone. He goes, a gas station blew up last week because of that. And he turns around, and he walks inside. And I'm really, a gas station blew up last week? And I didn't hear about it? Wasn't in the news? And that was the story. Everyone had heard that a gas station had blown up someplace last week. That wasn't in the news. And I believe the guys in Mythbusters even did a series, or at least a couple shows, where they tried to get cell phones to cause things to happen, and it never does. Cell phones don't throw off sparks, and they're not on fire, so I don't know how that could be even theoretically possible. But as far as I know, no gas station has ever been documented to have blown up because someone's talking on a cell phone. For a few years there were stickers at gas stations saying, please do not talk on your cell phone. My understanding is that most of those have been removed now, because they put those stickers up simply because there were customers who'd see someone else talking in a cell phone, and because they had heard the urban legend, they would freak out. Not because there ever actually had been a gas station that blew up, because no gas station ever actually did blow up last week. A few other common ones involve products. There was a rumor going around for years that a major manufacturer of household products, I'm not going to say the name of the company, was run by Satan worshipers. And the reason we know that is that on their packaging, they have the moon with a bunch of stars. And the story went that these guys had actually appeared on Phil Donahue and said, yes, we are Satan worshipers. We pray to Satan. And that's why he's rewarding our company with great success. Now, they actually traced that story back and they found out who started it. It was started by a competitor. But the point is that no executives of any major Fortune 500 company had ever appeared on Phil Donahue and said, yes, we are Satan worshipers. That's where our success comes from. I had people tell me, though, that that was absolutely true. Absolutely true. And then I have to mention this one, the Mickey Mouse blotter acid. I don't know much about drugs, so I don't take them. But there apparently is a form of acid that you can get where they dissolve it into ink, and then they put the ink on paper, and to take it, you put the piece of paper in your mouth, and you let this thing dissolve in your mouth. And they sometimes would mark them by having different things printed with the ink/acid. And somebody sent out a warning that they're now doing this in the form of Mickey Mouse, that Mickey Mouse is the actual image on the piece of paper. And they're doing that to hook children. So warn your kids that if they see pieces of paper with Mickey Mouse on them, not to stick it in your mouth, because you could go off on a bad acid trip. Because it actually happened to a friend of a friend of mine. No, it didn't. But again, the stories are fun, but recognize them for what they are. They're urban legends. Quick note, got a mug here for my buddies over at Amateur Redneck Workshop. He sent me a note and said, hey, Steve, I've got a channel just like you do, but I've got mugs. You want one? I said, sure, send it over. So he sent it over. And on the other side, it says, keep on keeping on. But yeah, Amateur Redneck Workshop. Like I said, at the end of my videos, there's actually an address that you can mail stuff to if you want to send me correspondence. I get people who actually send me letters, just like old school, which I appreciate. So that's the deal with urban legends. Hope you enjoyed it. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.